Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning. I'm John Elliott. I'm filling in for our regular host, Bob Lyons, who's a tax accountant, so he's going crazy this time of year trying to get all his customers' taxes filed on time. Tomorrow's the deadline, as many of you know. So if you haven't done your taxes, it's probably a good time to start filling out those forms. Today, we're lucky to have as our guest Dave Redden. Dave Redden is contracts with NITP. He's self-employed. He does seminars for NITP and others. And he's an expert in all things federal benefits, and that includes Social Security. And we're going to talk about federal benefits today, and we're going to start off with the looming TSP Roth plan that's coming on board May 7th. And just before we went on the air, I asked Dave, I haven't read what an employee on Monday, May 7th is supposed to do if they want to move some of their their future contributions going into a Roth. And the best answer we can come up with now is see your HR office. But as far as details beyond that, we're not really clear at this point. So, Dave, what advice do you have for somebody who is deciding, should I start putting future contributions into the Roth, or should I just stay with the conventional pre-tax TSP that I've enjoyed for many years?
Well, good morning, John. It's always a pleasure to see you and always a pleasure to be here. Happy Emancipation Day, 150th anniversary
today. Was
that
why traffic was so bad?
Traffic was really bad, wasn't it?
It was slower for me as well. Yeah.
But we made it. We made it. And you've asked an incredibly great question, which is the TSP Roth for everyone? Well, first of all, you know, I always have to make sure that my comments are more educational and you know, not heavily opinionated, but I have been just so excited about the TSP Roth since it was passed in the TSP Enhancements Act of June of 2009. And that's because the TSP Roth, I think, is just has the potential to be just the greatest thing in the world. It's been like, your birthday or Christmas Day. It just never gets here quick enough. And yet now we've been told May 7th, 2012, people can start putting money in. We'll obviously have to talk about some basic rules and regulations about how to do that. But your question is this a great thing? And you bet it is. For many federal employees, the TSP Roth is going to be absolutely awesome. Again, you know, trying to keep it educational. Why is that so? Well, we're going to have a nice long conversation about that, I assume. But I am very excited about it. I've been anticipating this for a long time. I've been very much in favor of it. I think it's a great program.
Well, this isn't our first program about the Roth. We've had some of our financial planners that we use in our seminars within the last month talk about the pros and cons of a Roth versus the traditional pre-tax TSP. And it all depends on one thing you want to look at is what your tax rate's going to be after retirement. If it's going to go up because you're working, as many federal employees have second careers, then maybe you should look at the Roth. On the other hand, if your taxes are going to decrease, which is probably more frequent than them going up, maybe you just want to stay in the regular pre-tax TSP plan.
Well, clearly, you know, there's a lot of background information that although you have presented before on the program, it probably doesn't hurt to go over some of those rules and regulations again and again so people can get used to this. But clearly, I would say this, for younger employees, even though by putting money in the TSP Roth, you do not get the reduction in your taxable income as you do by putting money into the regular TSP, the advantage is when you think about the salary of a federal employee in their 20s or 30s today versus what their salary and even what their benefits will be many years later in retirement, clearly they're probably at the lowest tax bracket now than they will be later on in retirement. In most cases. I mean, many people get lots of raises. We know that federal employees have had a pay freeze for the last couple of years. And, you know, Congress is going to be debating that again this year. I'm not going to go put myself on the line and say what I think is going to happen. But in any event, we know that eventually people get promotions, people get step increases, their salaries will go up over their career. And as a result of that, they may actually be looking at this a little bit incorrectly. Instead of the instantaneous effect, as we always recommend with the thrift, look at the long-term effect. And the long-term effect is, quite honestly, that by putting money into the TSP Roth now, that can really grow to a huge amount of tax-free income later on in retirement. Good plan.
Right. And you're right. We should back up and maybe explain the difference. As most people know that are in the TSP, and you all should be, whether even if you're CSRS,
absolutely,
vast majority of SERS are TSP contributors as well. But for FERS, it's absolutely essential you contribute to the Thrift Savings Plan. You get an immediate tax break with the pre-tax, the TSP plan that's been in effect since 1987, meaning it reduces your taxable income significantly for each year. But now this new Roth, which you'll have, you can't transfer old TSP money into the new Roth, but you can start as of May 7th putting your payroll contributions into a Roth. That money doesn't get the immediate tax break, but after retirement, when you can withdraw the money, as you mentioned, it comes out tax-free. And it all just, I'm not a financial planner, but it seemed to me when this Roth was passed into law a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, that for a young person, which you've alluded to, that would be a pretty good idea to start putting it into a Roth. The only caveat I would have to that is if you could put more money in to the TSP because of the tax break by doing the pre-tax TSP, that maybe it's always better to invest as much as you can. And if you can't do the max without the tax break, the current tax break, then maybe you should go with the traditional.
Well, clearly, and your point is well taken, clearly younger employees are all going to be under FERS, the Federal Employee Retirement System, which, of course, is the one that has the matching contributions from the agency into the TSP. Now, the law is very specific about this point. All matching contributions or agency automatic contributions must go into the regular TSP. So there they will have the pre-tax treatment on that. In other words, they don't pay tax on those contributions from the agency at that point in time. They will pay tax on it later. Now, an individual, in order to get the max amount of matching, has to have 5% of their pay going in per pay period. So it's not an annual 5% match. It's a per pay period 5% match. So if somebody said, I'm going to put 5% of my salary, I'm going to put it all into TSP Roth, they will get the 5%, well, 4% matching plus 1% automatic. They will get the 5%, and that will go into the regular TSP. Now, importantly, for a younger employee who's generally, because the TSP is a long-term tax advantage savings program, employer-sponsored, that they're going to probably be more invested in stocks rather than, say, the G fund. That would generally be the logical approach.
Well, that would be the advice.
Have to be careful with the advice, of course, but from an education perspective, that would be the logical thing. And, of course, an interesting feature of the TSP Roth is that whatever your contribution allocation is in the regular TSP, then your Roth TSP must match that. So, for example, if you were 90% in the G fund and 10% in the C fund in the regular TSP, then your Roth contributions would have to mirror that. You'd be 90% in the G fund and the Roth, and 10% in the C fund and the Roth. Now, again, for younger employees who are going to be mostly in stocks, C and S fund, maybe I fund, then this is going to be a real advantage because there won't be that kind of a thing that as you get close to retirement, well, maybe I should put some of my money in the G fund because I'm getting close to retirement eligibility, getting close to using that. If one is going to use the Roth for long-term money, which makes sense, then you would like to get the most amount of growth since it'll be tax-free. That says over the long haul, most amount of growth historically, and for good economic reasons, is going to be more in stocks. So that would be, you know, an issue that says maybe employees that are closer to retirement eligibility, closer to when they're going to start tapping into the thrift, they may not find the Roth to be as attractive as younger employees. But again, I think it really depends that every single federal employee that has the capability of doing TSP Roth needs to analyze this for their own personal numbers, their own situation. It's a little tough to say one size fits all. But we do know two important parts of the rule. To be able to get the tax-free credit under the Roth program, an employee, once they're retired, has to be, this is an IRS rule, not a TSP rule, they have to be 59 and a half years of age or older, as well as have been in the Roth program for at least 5 years. Now, that's actually 5 years from January 1st of the year that they begin any kind of Roth program.
So that would be 2012, January 1st.
That's correct. So 5 years later is when, if they were 59 and a half or older and they started tapping into it, that's when they would be able to do so without any income tax liability from Roth distributions.
Yeah, it's amazing. I want to return to a comment you made earlier about the matching. Let's say I can only do 5%.
Yes, sir.
I'm a young employee, but I certainly want to get that match because that's free money.
Yeah, never want to leave that on the table.
Then, and correct me if I'm wrong, then all of that is in the regular TSP.
That is correct.
You can't put money in a Roth until, or can you?
Yes, you could. Could say, I only want to give 5%.
Yeah,
that's all I want to do. You could have your contributions go to the Roth.
Okay, that was my question because I wasn't
the
five, clear on that.
But the agency matching money and the automatic contribution
would be established in a regular
has to be
pre-tax.
That's
account.
Right. It has to be.
Yeah, I was never clear on that.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons which we don't need to go into.
And right? I read at the TSP website, tsp.gov yesterday, and talking about the matching, and that wasn't at all clear. And I wondered about that, but you've cleared it up. Thank you.
Well, you know, I've been tracking this for a long, long time and reading IRS rules, checking how other employer-sponsored Roth 401ks work, as well as some of the government agencies that have their own 401ks, some of the financial services groups have their own 401k, and how their Roth 401k works, those that have them. And so, you know, yes, it's an information kind of a situation. And speaking of that, I'm glad you mentioned that about information. So if you go to tsp.gov and you go over to the TSP highlights, the April 2012 TSP highlights, pretty much the whole thing is dedicated to Roth TSP. There's also a wonderful video that people can look at. You know, it's kind of a quick video. You know, it's not like, you know, something they linked in from YouTube. They produced it themselves down at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. And it's an excellent video, does some great basic discussion, but it's quick and to the point.
Is it a cartoon or are there real people?
Oh, no, there's real people. Okay, no, we don't need to cartoon this. This is for real. This is not some pipe dream. It's a for real program. Just another example of federal employees getting generally pretty good benefits along the way.
If you want to call in and ask Dave a question, our number is 202-465-3080. We're on till about 10:57, so don't call after that because we won't be here. But we're live, so to speak, as much as we're ever alive. This is a live show, so it's not taped, so please feel free. We like callers. But if you don't want to call in, but you have a question, you can email us at any time. And the address is foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. That's nitpinc.com. I'll repeat that, foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. So if you have questions, don't be shy. Call in or email us if you are shy,
right.
And we'll give you answers.
And if I'm not mistaken, John, isn't when they, you know, for your benefit at NITP Inc., the four is actually the word for, F-O-R. It's not the number four.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Well, you know, actually, this is a great and memorable day for many reasons historically, but also, even though I probably shouldn't be mentioning it, the Washington Nationals, first place.
Yay.
How about that?
Yay.
Baltimore Orioles tied for first place, and the Washington Capitals play tonight. They're in the playoffs. Series tied 1-1 against the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, thank
the
you.
The great double overtime goal winner by Nicklas Backstrom.
We will answer all your sports questions as well. This is going to this could very well be, if you want to make it so, both federal benefits and sports. Dave is also a Civil War buff, so if you have any Civil War questions, you can also call him about that as well. But we probably should stick to federal benefits.
I think that would be a good idea.
Since that's kind of the premise of our show week to week.
Yeah.
And what I also forgot to mention, that all these shows are archived, which means you can listen to them at your leisure. So I mentioned earlier that we had some financial planners on talking about the upcoming Roth and, you know, who should probably look to start the Roth and who might not be as good a candidate for that. So all those shows are archived by subject matter. So you can go to nitpinc.com and click on For Your Benefit without the U, and you'll see a list of all our past shows. And if you want to listen to this again, this will be in the archives sometime this week, about midweek usually. So if you said, I wonder what they said about that, what did Dave say about that again? Well, you can listen to this show on tape probably by Wednesday at the latest.
Okay.
So if we have exhausted the TSP, and maybe we haven't, but it's not, you know, it's a critical federal benefit, but what should a new federal employee be looking at? Maybe they've been just come on board, or they're within their first couple years of federal employment, and they're fairly young, although not all federal employees who come into the government for the first time are young, as we know. But let's take the young employee. What should kind of things should they be looking at in terms of preparing for their future retirement, even though for them that seems like centuries away?
Well, John, I think that there's typically about three things that new federal employees have to look at. Number one, they have to do TSP. We've already established that. Absolutely critical benefit. Used to be that federal employees had a waiting period before they could start. Not anymore. They should get into that just as quick as they can.
Yeah, because you'd be losing matching
absolutely.
Funds.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Of course, the law was changed back in June of 2009. So now we have that when federal employees come on board, they're automatically enrolled at 3% of their pay contribution in the thrift. That would be in the regular TSP. So
that money's going into the G fund, the government securities fund.
So,
which, as a young person, as we talked about earlier, probably your better strategy is the majority of your money should be going into the three stock funds.
Right. Nobody knows what the stock market's going to do on the day-to-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, even maybe, you know, this year, next year thing. But we know that over the long haul, because the thrift and all tax-deferred employer-sponsored programs are designed for retirement, we know when time is on your side, it makes the investment strategy a little easier to do. That's for sure.
Yeah. Have you encountered in your seminars, because of the bad market in the first decade of this century, we had a bad patch from 2000 to early 2003. And then, of course, we had a bad patch from, say, 07, 08 until 09, where the stock market was just horrible. And people saw their TSP accounts shrink, or private sector, their 401k shrink, or what have you. Has that permanently scarred people, do you think? Have you ever had any questions about that in your seminars?
Of course. I think I get questions on that all the time. But part of the seminars as an educational tool is try to explain to people about how markets do work and, you know, the long-term perspective. Quoting from Greg Long, the executive director of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, He even put out a notice back in the fall of 2008 when the markets were really in rapid decline. He said, remember that the TSP is a long-term savings and investment program. So, you know, if the market goes down and you're in stocks, probably the worst thing you can do is sell out and move it to the G fund. You will sell low.
You will sell low, exactly.
And of course,
right.
When the markets come back, people's confidence goes up and they say, well, I guess I should better get back in. So then they wind up effectively buying high.
Which is exactly what you don't want to do.
Right. So if we could go back to those three points I was going to make, one is, of course, get in the TSP, but that means also invest the time to understand it. That goes into point two, which is understand how your federal benefits work. Federal government benefits are excellent, and they provide not only retirement benefits, but they also provide disability benefits and survivor benefits. Understand where the strengths and weaknesses of the benefit system will be for you. And the third point I like to say is people should do, and I've said this on the radio program before, they should, by linking over to tsp.gov on the website, going to the calculators feature, there's a calculator entitled, How Much Should I Save? That then links them to the Employee Benefit Research Institute's ballpark estimate. That thing is just dynamite. I give that out in all my classes. I encourage people to use that. It's very simple. It's very conservative and straightforward, so it's easy to do. And, of course, the nice thing about it is it tells people about how much they need to be saving per year in order to afford to retire. And if a new federal employee can do those three things, they are good to go.
Yeah, when I was doing seminars, I retired from that last year. But when I was doing it, I was always amazed. I'd ask for a show of hands. How many people use the TSP calculator? Or how many people use the Social Security calculator at SSA.gov or the ballpark estimator calculator at OPM.gov? And the decided minority... Relatively few, have ever even looked at those calculators. And as I always pointed out, particularly if I were doing a first class, that you're flying blind. You don't know what you're going to have in retirement. You should be figuring out, if I retire in 30 years or whenever it is for you, and you can play with all different scenarios, I said you ought to know what your FERS annuity would be in today's dollars, if you were retiring today after 30 years or whatever your plan might be, long range. And then Social Security would be a little harder to project. You could base them, but you could, using their calculator, project into the future. Of course, you have to assume a level of earnings for all those years you haven't worked. But the key is, as you point out, the TSP calculator for FERS people is absolutely indispensable, and it's a real eye-opener. I remember when this was back, not long after the TSP started, but I finally had access to the website. It's incredible to believe. We didn't always have the internet. You know, it's a relatively new tool, yeah.
We had two Dixie cups and string. We hook one to one computer and one to the other.
Yeah, kind of like the Progresso soup commercial.
Right.
But anyway, I got on the calculator, and I said, wow, you know. And I was learning about the miracle of compounding interest. So I decided, to practice on myself. So I said, my God, I'm going to be rich someday. Well, I'm a lot richer for having always maxed in the TSP. And every so often when I was having a bad day at work, which was far too frequent.
But
I'd go to the TSP calculator and project what I'd have based on certain assumptions when I retired. And that always cheered me up.
And when the market was up, you would tend to go in and tell your boss what you really felt, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a bad thing to do. Yeah. We really don't want to encourage federal employees to exhibit their day-to-day behavior based on their TSP performance, because that's not a good idea.
I think we have a phone call. That's what the sign was from Andy the engineer. I missed that before. I said, am I not speaking close to the mic? But we have a phone call. Are you on?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hello, how are you?
Great.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? What can we do for you?
You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, you're on the air.
You just start talking with your question or comment.
Hello?
Doesn't have to be a question. I think we're having trouble hearing him, so we'll move on. Maybe we'll get him back before the show's over.
Let's hope so. We can hear him, but he can't hear us.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well.
Maybe he needs to turn his radio down in the background? No, I don't think so.
Well, right. He's just saying hello. So right. Hello back, but in the meantime, we'll move on and maybe we'll, you know, get him back.
We'll just assume we successfully answered his question.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he called in and we just answered it prior to his call.
Maybe his hello was the question.
Yes. Hello? Am I still alive? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So speaking of TSP Roth again, and let's talk a little bit about contributions, because you said something where you were maxing out the TSP. We know one thing, that when someone puts money into the TSP, regular TSP, it's reducing their taxable income. Specifically, the way the federal income tax code works, it's a function of what we call adjusted gross income, or AGI. So your AGI is lower when you put money into the regular TSP. This will not be true with the TSP Roth. However, TSP Roth is one type of Roth, the other being Roth IRA. Now, Roth IRAs, unlike TSP Roth, do have income restrictions. If your adjusted gross income gets too high, you cannot participate. You cannot put new contributions into a Roth IRA. So for some folks that maybe are higher paid and or they're married and their spouse is higher paid, they may find that by putting as much money as they can into the regular TSP, it might allow them to participate and put new contributions in a Roth IRA. So that would be an important thing to also play off, you know, because Roth IRAs have some advantages over Roth TSP. They have some disadvantages. They're subject to an income limitation. You can only put in a maximum of $5,000 a year, unless one is age 50 or older, in which case you can put in $6,000 of new contributions. However, a Roth IRA never requires required minimum distributions, which is when you're 70 and a half years of age and you're retired from the government. The Roth TSP, like your regular TSP or like a regular IRA or 401k, does require that based on an IRS life expectancy table, you have to take a certain amount of money out. Now, in the case of regular TSP or regular IRA, that money that comes out, you have to pay tax on. With Roth TSP, the money comes out. You don't pay tax on it, but it does have to come out. So a Roth IRA is a great extra tool to have, an extra weapon in your armament, planning for the battle of being able to afford to retire, that if you have a Roth IRA, that would be the money you would like to have generally invested for the most amount of long-term growth. That'll be, in a sense, the money you touch last. You can't quite do that with a Roth TSP. But again, your ability to use a Roth IRA when you're higher income, maybe by using the regular TSP as much as possible. Just thought I'd throw that in there, whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've got to remember is many of us, and probably most of us, are going to live a long time in retirement.
Let's hope so.
And that's going to mean that a lot of us, more and more of us, are going to be on those Willard Scott Smucker's jars.
No, there you go.
If you don't understand the reference, a lot of people do. I always use that reference in my seminars, and half the class got it. But for those that don't, on the Today Show, you see, I'm retired. You get to watch the Today Show and Morning Joe in the morning and read the paper and all that good stuff. But Willard Scott's been doing this for years, and if you call in and you're 100 years old, or your family calls in with information about you, he'll put your picture up on the screen, but I think it's on a Smucker's jelly jar, and say some nice things about you and how good you look, and which of course isn't true.
But, oh, come on!
At 100,
John, you're going to look great at 100.
Yeah, well,
that's going to be quite a while from now, though.
Yeah, thankfully, yes. But a lot of us are going to be. The point is, I'm getting off on a tangent as I often do, but the point is, a lot of us are going to have to plan for a lengthy retirement. And one of the key ways to do that is save and invest now, whether that's the pre-tax or the Roth. You just have to decide which strategy. And you don't, and you can kind of split it up, can't you, Dave?
Yes, you can.
You're still limited to the IRS limit each year. This year it's $17,000. And if you're the year you turn 50, you can then start. If you're maxed out at the 17 this year, you can do an extra $5,500.
Correct.
So you could be doing $22,500 this year if you're 50 plus.
Right. And you can split that any way you want to between regular and TSP Roth. So in other words, you could put $10,000 into the regular TSP and the rest of it in the Roth TSP. You cannot exceed the IRS limit in total. But you can have all of it go to regular, all of it go to Roth, split in any way you want, such that the combined amount does not exceed that limit.
We do have a question, and maybe this was from the caller, but in any case, here's the question. I have a TSP loan out already, but now my house financing is underwater, which tragically is true for a lot of people these days, and I need the money badly. Can I get a second loan on my TSP savings? And if not, why not?
Well, you cannot. TSP loan rules were reformed several years ago. And some of that was because the TSP is designed to be for your retirement income. And it should not be used as a way to increase your lifestyle today at the cost of tomorrow's retirement lifestyle. So the TSP and Congress, they put forward these rules that you can only have one TSP loan out at a time. So if you have a TSP loan in effect, you would have to pay that one off to be able to do another TSP loan, unfortunately.
And just as an aside, it's always good if you have a TSP loan outstanding, you should pay it back before you leave the federal service, whether that's retirement or not. Because if you don't, the balance outstanding is declared a taxable taxable distribution of income to the IRS.
Correct. You have 90 days after separation to take care of any indebtedness to your own thrift account, and failure to do so requires the thrift board essentially to produce a 1099 for that tax year that says you took this amount of distribution. And if one has separated before age 55 from the federal government, not 59 and a half, but 55, and you're less than that in the year of year of separation, any distribution from the thrift would also be subject not only to income taxes, but also the 10% IRS early distribution fee, which is not good.
No, it isn't. And even though law enforcement officers, firefighters, and air traffic controllers can retire before 55 and often do, from my experience, I worked at two law enforcement agencies, they don't get a break on that. So they got to watch that 10% tax penalty and not withdraw their TSP money. Now, there are two ways around if you really need the money. If you really need your TSP money that early, I'd be thinking about working longer, but okay. But maybe you've got this great job offer and you just you need to retire before age 55. There are two ways to avoid the 10% tax penalty. You can purchase a TSP annuity. Yeah, Dave's making a face, and Dave and I are in agreement about annuities, and we can discuss that. Or you can have monthly withdrawals based on the IRS life expectancy tables, and even though you left before the year you turned 55, you don't get hit with a penalty. All other withdrawal options you do. But since we mentioned TSP annuities, I'm not a big fan of those, and your thumbs down gesture when I mentioned the word annuity indicate that I think we're in basic agreement. But
you weren't supposed to comment on that, John.
But we're not also on TV. I thought
no, as my friend Nick Onder would say, I have a great face for radio.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, I'll see Nick later this week, and I'm sure he'll bring that up. At any rate, You know, the TSP annuity, what happens is when you purchase it through a life insurance company under contract to the thrift board. That's pretty much only been MetLife, but that is a recompeted contract through competitive procurement, and they have rewon that every single time. It's a 5-year contract. It was awarded last year, if I'm not mistaken, so it'll come up again in 2016. Now, the TSP annuity rates are actually not that bad, but they are generally life annuities. Life annuity means that you are locked in at that rate at the time of purchase for the rest of your life. Now, for some folks, a TSP annuity may not be so bad if their total regular income from, say, pension, Social Security, et cetera, is not going to be sufficient to meet their regular monthly bills, then maybe taking a portion of the TSP and buying some annuity may not be a bad idea, because it is it's pretty safe.
Yeah.
All right. But the rates these days, of course, that's the issue.
Are very low.
Yeah. And because interest rates have gone down everywhere, and that includes in life annuities.
And that means you'll get less annuity.
Yeah. So you wind up getting locking in your money at 2% rate of return.
I always said to my class when I got to the TSP portion of my seminar that I would never, I'm not going to purchase a TSP annuity. Because I've got a CSRS annuity. Yeah. What do I need another one for?
You're already rich.
Right. And or comfortable.
Well, you would violate the principles of diversification at that
right.
point in time, which
exactly.
is you'd become, if you annuitize your thrift, you'd be annuity rich and lump sum poor. So the key thing in financial planning is diversify, diversify, diversify.
Exactly.
You hear it. It's, you know, it's a mantra. And of course, what's meant by that is that you would like to keep some of it. Now, a number of years ago, was it 2001, when the thrift board was given approval to do mixed elections, you could take some of your thrift and buy some annuity and maybe take the rest, keep it in your account, take a series of substantially equal monthly payments. Or you could have taken a portion of it and, quote unquote, rolled it over to an IRA. So with mixed elections, the annuity option is not maybe as bad as it used to be, where it was all or nothing. Having said that, when a FERS employee retires, if they are married, if they want to take their money in any way other than a TSP, the whole sum is a TSP life annuity with a 50% option, a survivor option for their spouse, they have to get spousal signed consent.
Right.
And so that's kind of a big deal.
So let's hope you have a good relationship with your spouse. I actually had an email question a year or so ago from a guy who was separated, not divorced, and that he was FERS, and he was running up against that requirement
that's
you just
correct.
Named. And he said, what can I do? Because she would barely talk to him. I mean, there was really bad blood, apparently, what I'm getting through this email. And so I'm locked into the joint life 50% survivor. What can I do? I said, well, you could one get a divorce, but on the other hand, the ex or the separated spouse would then maybe come after you in the divorce agreement too. So it may not work much better. But at least she'd no longer be your spouse, and therefore you would fall out of that requirement. But he asked me he was from Chicago, my hometown, so I felt a little empathy for him. And he said, do you know any lawyers in Chicago? I don't. I've been away for 30 years. But at any rate, so people do occasionally run up against that. But most people, if you're, you know, in a reasonably good marriage and you can explain the wisdom of maybe not doing a joint purchasing a TSP annuity versus the other options,
right?
Then most people, I think, will be able to get their spouse's signature on that form.
Right. Well, another thought on that same individual that with the email is they are not required to take their money out necessarily until they're 70 and a half. They have to take required minimum distributions. So they could choose to do nothing, not touch their thrift money if they felt that they were not going to be able to touch it in the way they would like to.
And hope their ex-spouse gets remarried or dies. Yeah, that is a solution.
I'm not commenting anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if I was in one of the classes, not on the radio, I probably would have talked about some guy in New Jersey or something. But, you know, that's a different story. And I probably just did comment, didn't I? No, but that's obviously every individual is different. Everyone's got unique circumstances. A little tough to say one size fits all. That's always been the issue in the education department, federal benefits, as well as certainly with the TSP. One size doesn't fit all. In fact, one size doesn't even fit most. I think that's the new way to buy things.
Yeah. Let me ask you this about annuities. What if we went back to the days of really high inflation and interest rates that we saw in the late 70s, early 80s, 12%, or I know it was at least 12% one year, maybe higher, I don't remember. But then the annuity interest rate you lock in would be much, much higher, which would mean you get higher monthly annuity payments for the rest of your life. I said, and I may be incorrect, again, I'm not a financial planner, but I would say in a seminar, I am bearish on annuities, as you are. But if interest rates rocketed up to where I could lock in a 10, 12% interest rate when I purchased the TSP annuity, then I said, that would get my attention. I might now at least consider putting all or part of my TSP money in an annuity. Does that seem?
Well, yes, but no offense by this comment. My background is economics, of course, and as an economist, for interest rates to go from the current rate up to that level would cause such economic chaos and havoc in our country and throughout the world that I don't know if there would be anything left for us to pick up the pieces on.
Yeah, but we survived those in the late 70s, early 80s.
However, generally, you have to look at long-term trends. And when you look at, as you started off, inflation skyrocketing, which then, therefore, creates the what we call the real rate of return. The real rate of return is the nominal, the actual rate of return you see, minus the rate of inflation. And typically, annuities will be just a little bit ahead of the rate of inflation. So what will the stock market have to do? Well, the stock market, you know, when we look over the long haul, has to return to owners of companies more than inflation and taxes takes away. So as a long-term investment, 10, 15, 20 years, we have to see that the ownership in across the broad range of the market does that, or it's like no other time in history, and it's going to be the end of all time.
Yeah,
like when the Mayan calendar ends at the end of this
year. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that interest rates are going to rise dramatically in the future, even though there's some, in some quarters, they're worried about inflation down the road, but that may or may not occur. But your annuities are based on three factors. One, the interest rate we just mentioned, which is locked in the month you purchase the annuity. The other, of course, is the amount of your account balance. And the third is the age at which you start your annuity. And returning to our TSP calculator, if you are considering an annuity, you must then go to you'd be crazy not to. The TSP calculator, and you can plug in your account balance or expected account balance, and it will and say, do I want a flat rate annuity or increasing term annuity, and it'll give you both projections of what your monthly payments would be.
There are other options as well, such as survivor option, 50%, 100%, guaranteed payout, which means that there's a guarantee that your account balance would be paid out to someone if you don't live long enough to have received it out. So these are what I would call safety features. But the safety features do not come free. So your annuity rate is lower when you get some of those safety features.
Right. And the TSP calculator can do many other things. We're both coughing at the same time because of the pollen, I'm sure. The TSP calculator and why it's so valuable, it can also, if you're considering equal monthly payments, now that sounds like an annuity, but it isn't. One method is you choose the amount, whatever amount you choose, they just have to be equal. Now you are locked into those amounts for 12 months, but you can change them as you wish every year, up or down. But the calculator can show you how long those monthly payments will last. For example, if you have $500,000 in your account and you estimate and of course you're guessing, but if you want to be reasonably conservative, but not too, a rate of return of about 6%. And you need $33,000 a month, monthly payment, that's $36,000 a year. The calculator will tell you that those payments will keep coming at a 6% holds true for 30 years. So right. That's the kind of information the TSP calculator can provide for you.
Right.
It can also show you what your other withdrawal options are. And so if you say, well, 30 years at $36,000 per, and if I'm lucky enough to earn greater interest, they'll last even longer.
Right.
If you don't go to the calculator, you don't know this stuff.
This is true.
Unless you go to the financial planner.
Right. Of course, another important thing to keep in mind with TSP distributions is that when you're taking money directly from the thrift, no matter if it's a one-time partial lump sum or periodic payments, these substantial equal monthly payments you've just referenced, including required minimum distributions, the thrift board's rule is that all distributions that are taken from your account must be done pro rata across the various funds you're in. So in other words, if you were, say, 50% in the G fund and 50% in the C fund, exactly at that point in time when a distribution is taken, say it's a $2,000 distribution, then $1,000 would come from the G fund, $1,000 would come from the C fund. Now, this is fine when markets are up, but if the stock market is down, then, you know, you kind of are taking money from a down account. So a partial way to get around that, again, if you're married with spousal approval, is that what you could do, again, using mixed elections, is you could take a portion of your account balance, transfer it to an IRA. Now, in the IRA, of course, IRA rules are going to be subject to, well, number one, you can take any amount you want from any fund you have at any time. So you can be a little bit more on-demand in terms of your withdrawals with your IRA, but then keep the balance of the money in the thrift more in the G fund. Use that for your substantial equal monthly payments, because we know the G fund is one of the real strengths of the thrift savings plan. You can't find the G fund anywhere else. It's guaranteed as safe as money can possibly be. It can never go negative. It's always positive. It's never a really high rate, but it is always there, and it's great. Great for taking your periodic monthly payments, as opposed to having it, you know, pretty well diversified across lots of different funds and taking money from those funds each month. Again, anytime you're taking money regularly from the stock market, you're subject to the whims.
There can be some really
the vagaries of the market, you know, are too hard to predict.
Yeah.
So you kind of maybe want to lock that down. And
agreed,
again,
yeah,
that would be an advantage of moving some of the money to the IRA, where you could go the little longer term. Also, when you get at 70 and a half years of age, as you mentioned, people are living longer and longer all the time. If you have money in the thrift, you are required to be taking money out. It's called required minimum distributions.
But they
again.
There are minimal, aren't they?
Well, it depends on your age. Obviously, when you're 70 and a half, it's, you know, winds up averaging around 3.5% of your account balance. And each year it gets a little larger, And you have to take that out. But again, when you're taking distributions, you have to take it across the board. Whereas in an IRA, if you had 5 or 6 different funds, when you get to 70 and a half, you have to take a required minimum distribution there based on their total account balance, but you could take it all from just one fund.
Okay.
We have a question.
We just got another question, and we have a few minutes left, so we'll get it in. What in a nutshell... You scared already, in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Makes the Roth TSP a better choice than the traditional TSP for most federal employees? It's kind of a broad question.
Oh, boy. That's
a whole show.
As I said, you know, in a sense, you know, that's a one size doesn't fit all. But again, advantage of TSP Roth, although you do not get the instantaneous advantage of reducing your taxable income by your contribution, you do get the advantage, as long as you meet the rules, of having no tax liability at all when you pull that money out. You know, we can get a lot more specific than that. I can see we're running up close to the end of the time limit on the show. But I would recommend for that caller that submitted that question, this is something that again, one size doesn't fit all. You're not going to be able to answer it through a quick, you know, give me a 5-second soundbite thing. You need to do analysis on this. There are some calculators. Right now, there's not a calculator on the TSB website about should I do Roth or not, because I feel the calculators do not do a legitimate job of answering the question. Most of those calculators only tell you what's, you know, based on what my tax rate is now, what my tax rate is later. There are many good reasons for Roth that don't fit that kind of a calculator. And, you know, so there's going to be some important points to look at. Again, at the same time, while you're evaluating whether TSP Roth is good for you, what about Roth IRAs? See if you can evaluate that in the mix as well. People have to get smarter, and they have to get smarter because Uncle Sam requires it.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, all these shows are archived, and you can go to nitpinc.com, our website, and listen to past shows. And we have done at least two shows with financial advisors talking about this question that I just read, who is better off in a Roth as opposed to staying with a traditional TSP. So you can get some advice from professionals by listening to our past shows. Or, always a good idea, if you don't have a financial advisor or planner, it's not a bad idea to hire one. Yes, they don't work for free. None of us like to work for free. But it can end up saving you money, or making you more money is probably a better way to put it, in the future. So always consider that. It's just like if you hire a tax professional like Bob Lyons or somebody else, then you will probably save money on your taxes.
Right. And I would also go with that, an estate planner, too.
I'm not a lawyer. Absolutely. Oh,
so
thank you.
This is not a commercial sponsored by the American Bar Association, but particularly if you have young children, most people don't do it, but it's one of my pet peeves in seminars. People should do some estate planning.
Okay. We have arrived at the end of our show. Thank you for the two people that gave us questions. Hope you learned something. I think if you learn one thing in the space of the hour or so we're on the air, it's been probably well worth your time. So that wraps it up. Thank you.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.